trumpet, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Keep having to remember that it is Tuesday and not Monday, but a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday here this morning. Thank you to Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug. We'll be telling you all about them as we move along throughout the hour. Coming up, not sure. I have dropped the ball on planning. So we may even get some what's on Jared's mind.
I think it was the first time in the history of the show.
I know. Well, here's the deal.
We don't have a rundown.
I forgot it was Tuesday, and I was too busy printing off the sales reports.
Oh, right.
This morning. I got here a little bit later than normal.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, no.
Oh.
It's Tuesday. I've got to print off those reports. And so
that's
here
right.
We are. I'm sure we could figure it out as we move along throughout the show. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with us. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News. We'll be hitting the website tonight at midnight at thepennynews.com. We've also got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV in the app. That's way closer to being back live than anybody wants to admit. Because summer's almost over, Jared. Here we are in July.
Yep.
Also, Skinny on Sports podcast, if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and figure out what we had to talk about each and every day, and you can listen to the entire show that way. Jared Atha, good morning.
How was your 4th of July weekend?
It was uneventful, I would call it.
Which I assume was planned that way?
Yeah, we went to mother-in-law's on Saturday, did some swimming.
Well, we have something in common.
Then we
swimming at mother-in-law's.
Yeah, swimming at mother-in-law's on Saturday. We didn't do a whole bunch on Sunday. Went to church and all that, and then just kind of hung out. And I mowed the yard, watered the yard. It's something that we've never really done before.
But, getting any of that rain last night? Or yesterday afternoon, I guess.
When we were back at mother-in-law's yesterday, and they said I was at the golf tournament and I didn't get there. We were watching it rain from the golf course, and then it sprinkled a little bit, and then, but I guess kind of north side of town, got some showers.
It was nice.
Yeah,
came right through. I mean, no wind with it, just nice cool down.
Yeah, it was amazing how much cooler it was 3 miles north where it kind of rained. But anyway, did that. Ate good food.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a...
That's a necessity.
Went over, saw some fireworks last night. So, yeah, it was just kind of the normal old awesome 4th of July.
Good deal. Oh, yeah, about the same. Didn't plan a lot to do anything, you know. We had friends over Friday. What day is it? Saturday. Had them over Saturday, and one of the kids stayed the night, and we could not kick her out of the house. She would not leave until midday Sunday. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun with friends and family. Hit up Merritt, the old funny farm. Did some fireworks over there on Sunday night. And yesterday, you mentioned swimming at mother-in-law's. That's what we did. Just hung out in her backyard. And then that rain came, and we thought, oh, man, it's going to rain on us. It wasn't bad. It was a nice little cool down.
Where do you rank 4th of July in your holiday rankings?
Easily number one.
Really?
Yep. It's my favorite. Always has been.
Wyatt and I had this discussion over the weekend, and he's like, you know, I think 4th of July is my favorite. I was like, okay, so let me ask you, why?
I Volleys, I don't know. For one, it's in the summer. I like it. It's a lot of outside time. Fireworks, it's just the all-American holiday that you just love, or I just love, because of everything that we mentioned of what we did this weekend with fireworks and hot dogs and burgers on the grill, had some ribs one night, swimming, and it's I mean, it already was my favorite holiday before kids, but now with kids, and they're at this age where they just, their eyes light up with fireworks and swimming and just having fun. I just always like that holiday more so than the rest. Although this year's a little expensive with fireworks, what they cost. It's kind of why I don't like Christmas, because it's just, you're constantly buying something. And the meaning of Christmas has gone away for a lot. But the meaning of 4th of July has not gone away for me anyways. And I just love celebrating our freedom and flying the flag, and just an all-American holiday I just love.
Yeah, I'd put it number two.
Behind?
Thanksgiving.
Ah, okay.
Thanksgiving's my favorite.
Okay.
Always.
It's not a bad holiday. You know, there's.
Is
there a bad holiday?
Yes.
What's a bad holiday?
Valentine's.
Well, no. We're talking about a holiday that you do not have to go to work. We're talking Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Am I missing any? If we were bankers, we would have a lot more on that list.
Yeah.
but, I get what you're saying about Valentine's Day.
So what you're telling me is Valentine's Day isn't a real holiday.
No.
Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
That's what I'm getting from what you're saying.
I'm pretty sure.
So you're telling me Valentine's Day doesn't count because we have to go to work.
Yeah.
So
you have to go to work on your birthday. You have to go to work on St. Patrick's Day. You shouldn't. Shouldn't have to. Or maybe you shouldn't have to go to work the day after St. Patrick's Day. But no, Valentine's Day, nah. It's all well and good. Get him a card. Move on. No, I'm talking holidays where you get the day off work. So, again, with that in mind, is there a bad holiday? Like one where it's like, oh, I don't
know.
See,
once again, Halloween doesn't count.
Halloween does not count.
Halloween I don't like.
No. No, I'm going to sound like Mr. Grinch here, or Mr. Scrooge. I don't like Christmas. Christmas is my least favorite.
Why?
It's just so consuming. First off, I'm surprised we haven't started to hear Christmas songs on the radio yet. Because it starts early every year. Then you start seeing commercials. Christmas special. Come buy this. Buy. Spend the money. And somewhere, sometime, many years ago, we lost the true meaning of Christmas. And it irritates me. It just bugs me. Like, people don't, you know. Anyways, it's just, why do we have to immediately, as Thanksgiving's over, we have this full month of Christmas? And I get it. People love the Hallmark movies. They love the Christmas radio. I get it. Some people love. I'm like, hey, it's just a day. It's one day of the year. And over time, it has just wore me out. So Christmas is my least favorite. Again, there's not a bad holiday as far as, you know, you get day off work and everything. And I mean, obviously I know the true meaning of Christmas. I love gathering with family. I love giving those presents and, again, with kids, seeing them just go crazy, tearing into the paper and all that. I mean, there's parts of Christmas I like. But if you're going to ask me what my least favorite holiday is, it has to be Christmas.
Interesting.
So what's yours? You tell me. No, of those days that you get off, what's your least favorite? I can see why Thanksgiving would be awesome, because...
Probably Labor Day.
Labor Day?
What's the big deal about Labor Day?
Official end of summer?
What is Labor Day?
I'm being dead serious. It is...
What's the significance of Labor Day?
We celebrate the brave women who've gone into labor.
That's not right.
Oh, is that wrong? I think it's a work thing that... I think that's a great point. What is Labor Day?
I have no idea.
I just see it as September. It's the unofficial end of summer and the unofficial beginning of college football. That's where I see it. It's a point in the calendar year where I'm like, that's Labor Day. That means college football starts on that weekend.
I'm going to find out.
I don't know what that is.
What is Labor Day and why do we celebrate it?
I mean, it's another reason to have a barbecue. I mean, it's still...
Created by the labor movement in the 19th century.
Okay.
Labor Day honors the men and women who fought tirelessly for workers' rights.
There you go. I thought that was something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Labor Day.
Yeah, is a time to pay tribute to the many contributions of American workers, labor leaders, and unions. Be sure to take some time out to reflect and pay respect to all the workers, past and present, who have made America the country it is today. Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
As like Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Any other holiday. So clearly for me, Labor Day.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to have a real...
Now, let's circle back to Thanksgiving. Do you like Thanksgiving because of the food or the football? Or both?
Food. I love Thanksgiving because of the food, the family. And, you know, and like you said with Christmas, the problem, I mean, you mentioned as soon as Thanksgiving is over, the next week is Christmas, 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 Christmas. That's actually not true.
It's before.
It's way before.
Yeah. That's what I'm in. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't started seeing.
Yeah.
Get ready for Christmas.
Thanksgiving gets disrespected, along with pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie gets disrespected just about as much as anything in America. Because you know what else we're going to start seeing here shortly? Pumpkin this, pumpkin that. Pumpkin spice. Pumpkin this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why not pecan spice? What happened to pecan? It's better than pumpkin anyway. The disrespect for pecan is just off the charts. So I'm going to go with... But no, it's because it's like the true meaning of Thanksgiving has never been lost.
That's true.
No matter how much crazy people try to bring it down. It was like the first unifying experience of America.
That's a good point.
The one advantage that July 4th does have over Thanksgiving, though, is the grill.
Yeah.
On the food aspect of it, the grill.
But nowadays, people are still using that grill year-round, especially the smokers. Smoking a turkey.
I do that.
Or
my very own self.
A ham or something. Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, you're not eating hot dogs and hamburgers at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the difference is the sides. You know, like,
right.
What did you have yesterday? Chips?
Oh, yeah. We had like a corn salad and chips and you name it, salsa.
Right.
Buffalo style chicken dip. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
I heated that stuff up. I put it on a hot dog, too. It was great.
My wife made a new dip this weekend, and it wasn't for me.
Oh, my. Bringing that to air, are we? Did she know that?
If you had played in the Labor Day tournament in Clinton, you would have a better feel what labor is. What a labor it is. That's true.
Is that
3 days
you?
Worth? Yeah. On the old text line, 3 days worth of it. Oh no, J Max, not a pumpkin pecan pie fan.
Well, I'm with him. I never found the appeal of,
hey, right?
Of putting a. I don't get it. The whole pecan thing in a pie. I don't get it.
It's delicious.
Well, good. Not for me. Not for me. Speaking of hot dogs, I gave you a topic yesterday about Joey Chestnut. He saved America yesterday.
He did?
Did you see what he did?
No.
Now, you know who Joey Chestnut is.
Oh, no. We got way too many people that are on the wrong side of this pumpkin versus pecan pie thing.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line for all you people that are wrong, liking pumpkin over pecan. Oh, my Lord.
Joey Chestnut, the reigning...
They don't say it's American as pumpkin pie. They don't say pecan either.
No, they say cherry.
They say apple.
Apple, that's right. Yeah.
Joey Chestnut what?
He's the hot dog eating champ. Mm-hmm. Like, what, 15-time hot dog eating champ? Of course, they have it every 4th of July over there at in New York. Well, he's right in the middle of doing this, and some protester jumps on the stage right next to him. And if
I totally missed the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, Google it up. You'll see this weekend. And the dude, I think he's protesting. You know, they're eating a bunch of hot dogs. He's a PETA guy, I guess. I don't know. And he kind of elbows Joey Chestnut to get hold up this sign. And he just, with him, like, I guess two or three hot dogs in his mouth, looks at the guy. It just grabs him and puts him in a headlock.
Are you serious?
Yes.
How did I miss this?
And then he's hustled off. And then he continues to eat the hot dogs, and he wins. He wins the thing by like 10 hot dogs. He ate like 50-something, 57, 58.
Way under. I actually heard Fat Jack. I think Fat Jack was on the stage too.
Really?
Yes. He was one of the participants.
That's awesome.
And the hot dog eating.
It was such a bizarre thing. And I'm like, man. And I see some commentary about it. This guy saved America. Because it's the hot dog eating contest is something everybody will agree on. And, you know, I mean, I was watching it with my kid, my 8-year-old, and she said, "Dad, that's disgusting." Yeah. I said, "Yeah, I'm getting kind of sick watching it." But we're watching it, right? Democrat, Republican, who cares? We're all watching this hot dog eating contest. 63, okay.
And then Mika Sudo had 40, her 8th women's, 15th men's title for Joey Chestnut.
Crazy. But he just takes this protester, something I think we've all wanted to do for the past few years, and just puts him in a headlock. Just kind of, he gave him a look like, what are you doing here? Bam! Put him in a headlock. And he was wearing a walking boot. He had injured his leg in some separate incident. He had to go up there on crutches.
The protester or Joey Chestnut?
No, Joey Chestnut. So he's eating hot. Now, I know the walking boot has nothing to do with eating hot dogs, but he was able to manhandle this protester. It was crazy. You're going to find the video if you look for it. I thought, yes, that's what we do. That's what America used to be about. Don't mess with us.
Is there a better
put you in a headlock?
Is there a better hot dog eating name than Joey Chestnut?
I know, right?
I guess it'd be
his nickname is Jaws.
Yeah, man. How do you think you eat 63 hot dogs in a year?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah, no chance I eat that.
I had about five this weekend.
Did you really? I had one.
I mean, I had we had hamburgers and hot dogs Saturday night. I again had it yesterday for lunch. I grilled up some dogs. Something about watching them eat all those hot dogs makes you hungry. And then, I had about four.
I had one.
Just one hot dog.
But it wasn't
weekend.
Even a hot. I know that's not right. I had two. I take that back. I had two.
Two hot dogs. I think I usually eat 60. Sometimes we're lazy. We're like, let's just throw hot dogs on the grill. We don't want to cook anything spectacular.
It's like five a month. Think you average five a month?
Easily. Come on, what do? We go and call football games, and we go and call basketball games, and what's the easy item at the concession stand sometimes? Me, I get a lot of Frito chili pies, but when I deviate off that path, I go to hot dogs.
Yeah.
So,
all
beef. They can't be the, you know.
How many do you think you could eat?
In one sitting?
No, in 12 minutes. Like, say we did, you did the hot dog eating contest. How many think you could eat?
I would be lucky to get 10.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
If this was a hot dog eating contest and I went in with an empty stomach,
mm-hmm. Like you train for it for the next month.
Oh, I'm not training for that.
So we get you in here, let's say August the 8th. That's a Monday. You have a whole month to train. Could you get 10 in 12 minutes?
If I'm training for it, sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't challenge me, man. I think I could do 10 right now.
Oh, do you really?
12 minutes. Somebody if we did go, it today.
We're right across the street from the supermarket. I would love to see this.
Okay.
I would be able to be do like play-by-play of you eating 10 hot dogs in 12 minutes. I like this plan.
I like the challenge. If someone wants to present me a plate of hot dogs and set a timer in front of me, I would try my best to get them all down.
Do you think that you could, you know, the biggest key to all that is the end, meaning you don't evacuate. What are they have a word for it.
Refund? I don't know.
No, they actually, I mean, there's a technical term for it when you hear them. Anyway, because there was one year where back in the when there was a rivalry for eating hot dogs between Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi.
Right.
Kobayashi sort of threw up, but sort of didn't, but they didn't count it. I can't remember what the word they used for this.
Was this off that documentary they did?
I mean, I was watching it.
Oh, you're...
There was controversy.
Oh.
At the end. About the last time Kobayashi won. Ugh. There was a point in life where it looked like Kobayashi was just going to win this every time, and then Joey Chestnut came along.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, Hunter has now challenged you to a hot dog eating contest.
Hunter?
Hunter.
Our man Hunter Hayes?
That's right.
Bring it on, Hunter.
He has got the size advantage. But as all you have to do is watch these things, and you figure out that's not... You're the perfect build for eating hot dogs.
Sure, right?
Like the skinny guys could put it away. The skinny gals put it away. Have you seen the lady? This doesn't look like her, but it might be. Have you seen the video of the lady goes out to Amarillo?
Yeah, yeah.
And piles away two of those steaks.
72-ounce? Yeah.
Yes.
She doesn't even use a fork. She just grabs
No, she looks like a lion in the Serengeti.
She has an hour to eat it for free, right? And she eats like two of them.
Two of them like 12 minutes or 15 minutes or something.
That's crazy.
She's ripping it apart.
That's crazy.
Like a wild animal. You think you could do that one?
No. I know I couldn't do that. Now, could I eat a 72-ounce steak? Maybe about 3 days.
Oh.
You know, leftovers. But not in one sitting under an hour. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think I could either. All right.
But if you want to drive me out to the Big Texan, I'll let you.
No thanks.
You have to pay for it when I don't hit that mark.
We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. You just heard from Rodney Skinner there at Paul Jones Drug. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. They have all the experience compounding. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing and vaccinations, long-term care unit packaging, blister packs is what they call those. Convenience packaging. We talked about this a bunch, but that is it's a really cool idea. So instead of having the giant plastic container that we've all seen with the days of the week on it, and you having to fill it up with your daily meds and remember to do that each and every week, convenience packaging is just they individually package your daily medicine. So all you got to do is open it up, take your meds, boom, you're done. Without worrying how to refill in it yourself. So that's a really cool aspect of what they do down there at Paul Jones Drug. 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Give them a call at 580-225-2121. Also, I mean, we got the big golf tournament coming up on Saturday. 25th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open. There are still just a couple of championship flight spots. Sign up KECOFM.com if you please. It's going to be a fun time over the weekend here at Elk City Golf and Country Club. Then also, the next week, the Saturday, the July the 16th, 8 a.m. to noon for the KECO Presidio Petroleum Fishing Derby, 8th Annual Fishing Derby at Ackley Park here in Elk City. It's also the Presidio Family Day in the park, the mini golf, carousels, trains. That'll be going till 2. So fish till noon, the rest of it till 2. All kinds of great sponsors there. DJ's Rentals, Farmers Insurance, it's Ted Briscoe. Culver Electric, Great Plains Bank. We'll tell you about all of those as we get closer to the Fishing Derby, July 16th, 8 a.m. to noon. And then you can stay till 2 and hang out on the carousel, the newly renovated train.
Brand new track, yeah.
Mini golf, everything. There a week from Saturday, the 16th of July. What do you think the odds are, Jared, that by the end of the week, the Big 12 will add 4 teams?
Well, first off, we said before we went to the weekend, would there be talks or rumors about teams coming to the Big 12 by the end of the weekend? That happened, right? Because there's talks of four from the Pac-12, the two Arizonas, Colorado, and Utah, if I'm not mistaken, who want to come over. So your question now is, what are the odds by the end of the week that's official?
Yeah.
70%.
Yeah,
70%. Because the USC-UCLA thing, that was in the works for quite a while. And I know this, and schools don't want to be reactionary, which was kind of what the thought was when OU and Texas announced they were going to the SEC. The same questions were lingering for the Big 12. Who are they going to get? Who are they going to get? Who are they going to get? There's all this speculation. And it took a little bit until they announced the four that were coming. So I would say about 70%, but they need to move fast if you're those schools I mentioned, because you don't want to be still on a ship that's going down. So that I would say 70%. What do you think? I just don't think this is as easy as asking someone to the prom and them saying yes and it's a done deal. There has to be a lot of talk.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there does, honestly. Just because of, yeah, I think we've seen this in the past. The main bombshell is the one that kind of takes some time and is all, you know, in the works. And then as soon as that bombshell drops, boom, something happens quick with like the reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that as uppity and as high class as they are out on the West Coast or in the Pac-12, I do think that there's got to be a sense of urgency amongst those schools to look around and go, we've got to have a chair. We can't be the ones that are still standing at the end of this game of musical chairs. Because I think in over the weekend it felt like you saw a bunch of different articles about this school or that school and Big Ten, Big 12, you know, all from out there. And I think they realize that because of the fact that the Big 12 could just go no, like the schools in the Big 12 just go no, we're not coming there. You already shunned us last year at this time when it felt like a bunch of these schools needed a place to land. And the Pac-12 was like, eh, you know, holding their finger up. Their pinky finger with their wine in it, and like, no, you're not good enough for us. So there's already kind of that piece of animosity to where I just don't understand why anybody in the Big 12 would jump. And I think the Pac-12 schools are realizing that. Like, uh-oh, outside of a couple of those Big 12 teams, we really don't have options as far as expansion that make any sense, and they're even near big enough to feed the mouths that we're going to have to feed. And so what's the next option? Okay, we need to go somewhere. And I think he started, I mean, there was article after article over the weekend. And it does look like, at least from the Big 12 side of things, it looks like they've settled on four. It looks like they settled on the four that, you know, we kind of mentioned at first, the two Arizonas, Colorado, and Utah. I think it's interesting that it would be Colorado, but you know what? They may have seen the error of their ways. And obviously there's some natural fit there with, you know, them being a Big 8 and a Big 12 school for all those years. So, you know, geographically it makes better sense. And it kind of really and truly, it adds to the rivalry aspect of a bunch of this. You know, Colorado's played the Big 12 teams. Obviously, Utah, BYU being in the same conference is very intriguing. And then you see what can be built from there. And so I think what I'd read over the weekend, Thursday appears to be kind of a big day in this process to where, you know, they get the everything kind of nailed down. And then maybe Thursday is the day that we hear, hey, the Big 12 has formally extended an invitation to those four schools. And as much as for TV sets, Washington and Oregon make better sense monetarily, you know, that's still a long way. You know, as far as the geography of it. And maybe they know something we don't, meaning Washington and Oregon, that the Big Ten is coming, just not quite yet.
Yeah.
So that brings this question up. If you're OSU, Oklahoma State, are you satisfied with that 16-team league, or are you behind the scenes doing everything you can to be one of the next ads from the SEC?
Well, the ultimate goal is to be in the best conference in the country, and that is the SEC. So, yeah, I think they'd love to, but I don't know how much they're pushing it. You know what I mean? I don't know if they are pushing it behind the scenes. I think they can be satisfied with this. Now, with the addition of those four, I think it's a plus. I mean, that makes the Big 12 a lot better. Before, you know, considering what was coming in the first place with Cincinnati and BYU and the others. So this definitely makes the Big 12 competitively better. And then you're on that west side market. You're in the Arizona market, clearly. You're back in Denver. And then, you know, I think it's better for, obviously, football with Utah. Every once in a while, Arizona, one of the Arizona schools are okay and good. But, man, I look at other sports, too, like basketball. Imagine Arizona and OSU playing twice a year. You know, you get the Arizona schools and softball. I mean, it list goes on and on. So I think OSU would be happy with what the league could turn into with those four. But yeah, I mean, everybody wants to be in the SEC. I think that's obvious.
Or the Big Ten.
Or the Big Ten now. But could you be content and happy to be in this new possible new Big 12? Sure.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder what if it's just kind of a placeholder for what's next.
Right.
And if that's the case, oh my gosh, I'm seeing it. That video just popped up. I mean,
The headlock. Yeah.
Of the protester in some sort of mask. Oh my gosh, it looks like he almost broke his neck.
He's wearing a Darth Vader mask.
Is that what it is? I can just kind of see a black mask. Holds up a sign and Joey Chestnut rips him to the ground by his neck. Wow.
Bravo.
There's more of them in the background. The one bumps up into him. He slams him to the ground. Then there's stormtrooper masks behind some other holding up signs. What a bunch of idiots. Anyhow. I just don't think... I just don't think you can get comfortable.
Right.
if you're anybody outside of an SEC or a Big Ten, because here I don't think, and there can't be, you can't be loyal. You know, ACC schools, Big 12 schools, whatever's left of the pack, there's not going to be much loyalty because you don't want to be the last ones on the sinking ship.
Right.
You want to bail. And if you get the chance to bail into one of those other two conferences, you have to take it because of what it looks like and is inevitably coming. And that's a, I don't know, 40, 50? Is it that many? You know, the thing about adding up to 20 or 24 teams to each of those two conferences is that's extra mouths to feed.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to get to the point where you're adding just for adding's sake and you're not adding any value. Where is that point as far as TV contracts and the like? Where is that point?
Yeah,
is it 20?
Not quality.
It's just added quantity.
It's just quantity, yeah.
And right now the whole point of it seems to be with who's getting added, they're valuing quality over quantity. Or it's just going to be kind of the slow death of adding two teams every now and then. You know, or it's at some point they're just going to rip off the Band-Aid and say, okay, here we go. We're going to 20 and we're adding these four, you're adding those four, everybody else, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, back to the Pac-12, which is now back to 10. Could you see it like they – now it's a totally different world to when it happened to the Big 12, when Missouri left, when Colorado left, when A&M left. But could you see the Pac, now 10, I guess, saying, we're going to stand pat with 10?
I don't think – it's a different world
like
now.
What I'm saying is, could they – is there any possibility of all 10 schools agreeing to stay together? I think the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is no because
– it is a different world.
It's the dynamics of what the TV contracts are and aren't, you fall so far behind. I mean, you're going to be a little bit behind anyway because of the lack of a conference network. You know, the Pac-12 tried to have one, and nobody ever got to see it. And so, no, I just don't think it's economically feasable anymore to do that. Because, I mean, think about
especially
this.
when the large portion of that market is LA and it's gone.
Yeah. And, I mean, think about this.
No one in LA is tuning into an Oregon-Washington game anymore because it has no effect on USC or UCLA.
No. And it doesn't, you know, there. So CBS, for all these years, has been paying the SEC $55 million a year for that one game.
Right.
A weekend. ESPN paid the SEC $300 million for that same game. Six times more. Just for the one game.
One game. One game of the week.
That's right. And so if you're, you know, can the Pac-12 generate that with 10 schools without USC and UCLA as far as their next TV deal? I don't know. And they're paying that for one game. What about the Rose Bowl? It's going to happen to it. You know, it's been kind of the thorn in the side of playoff expansion.
Yeah, if the Pac-12 goes away.
Is all of a sudden the Rose Bowl playing ball again? and wanting to be involved? Does it go away? Surely not.
You would think that they'd have to evolve. They'd have to, yeah. Surely, no, but it's not going anywhere. But it's going to look different. Participants are going to look different.
Here you go. This is from yesterday. Barstool, Big 12. Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State meeting with Big 12 officials tomorrow, which is today. I think we see it.
Yeah.
I think we see it quickly. And I think it's going to be those four. And just on the text line, if you have to get Oregon. I kind of agree with that. From a TV contracts point of view to maximizing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, all the value you could possibly maximize, they would make the most sense.
Yeah.
From that standpoint. No matter, I mean, geography be damned. West Virginia, you're going to have to go to Oregon every now and again, vice versa. You know, I saw a tweet over the weekend that it said, USC's closer to Honduras than it is to Rutgers. What do you think about that?
That is insane.
It really is. So, I think it's happening. I think it's happening, and the Big 12 is going to win out. How crazy is that? A year ago at this time, when all the stuff started flying about OU and Texas moving to the SEC, and honestly, even way back when you mentioned earlier, when those four schools, Nebraska, Missouri, Colorado, and A&M left the Big 12. Isn't it amazing that the Big 12 is still going to be standing?
It is amazing.
I mean, it's like they're a cat with nine lives.
Well, it's because I keep going to the East Coast, West Coast variable. Same reason why I think NIL is going to have a big effect, because those large markets are in the East Coast and West Coast. I didn't think the Big 12 had any shot. I mean, what market does the Big 12 markets do the Big 12 have? Dallas, Kansas City.
Houston.
But I just thought, Phoenix. We're going to see the Big 12 be picked apart going east and west.
Think about this. If I'd have told you in 2011, when it all started, that not only would the Big 12 survive, but the Big 12 is going to survive without Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, that's insane.
You'd have thrown me in a straitjacket.
That's insane. But it goes back to that quantity over quality. You lose OU Texas, but you gain all these other schools.
Well, and honestly, what got added last time was kind of meh.
Right.
This time it's not like that.
No, I mean, Cincinnati is a plus.
Yeah. BYU for sure is.
Yeah. But I mean, if Cincinnati continues to play quality football like they have been, they've always given you a good basketball squad.
But it's still kind of, you're telling me we lost Colorado, Missouri, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas, and you got me Cincinnati, Houston, you know?
Yeah.
A little underwhelming. But now, with these other four,
with
you're telling
Utah
me you got
and Colorado,
Arizona, yeah. Arizona State.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. After these two different times where it looked like the Big 12 was dead. And now here they are coming out smelling like a rose, it looks like. There's all kinds of, as I look through my Twitter feed here, all kinds of, you know, articles or comments about, sources indicate four Pac-12 schools in discussions to move to the Big 12. Who would have ever thought?
So, wrapping it up with the Rose Bowl, say the Pac-12 goes away. You know, they've always had the Pac-12 champ versus the Big Ten champ. Well, if the Pac-12 goes away, does the Rose Bowl go, hey, Big 12, you want to be one of our representatives in the Rose Bowl? Because there's still going to be some of those West Coast schools there.
So I don't know what's going to happen.
If a Big 12 champ does not get into the playoff, they'll just go, okay,
we'll take the
Big 12 champ.
How about this? Not that. Let's not do that.
Okay.
Would you have a problem if we just said, you know what? There's not a Pac-12 and Big Ten to play in the Rose Bowl ever again. Now, listen, Rose Bowl. In order for you to do this, you're going to have to change your time.
Yeah.
But just make it the permanent national championship site.
The permanent national championship site at the Rose Bowl.
National championship game is played at the Rose Bowl every year. Does anybody have a problem with that? The Rose Bowl is cool.
Oh, it's very cool. It's very cool.
And that lets them kind of pats their head and lets them feel
special
about themselves.
You're still relevant.
You're still okay, little fella. You can have the championship game every year, but you can't have it on January 1 at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be later on. They might be uppity enough to say no to that.
They will.
You know what I'm saying?
They will say that.
For me, as a college football fan, I would have zero problem with that if the Rose Bowl was the site of the title game every year.
You wouldn't want the idea of having a chance to go around, like, hey, this is the year OU's going to get in, or OSU. Let's go to, I don't know, Miami or wherever they have it. Yeah. It changes everything.
You can still go there for the second semifinals.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Those can change around.
But you want a permanent final destination.
I think if it's the Rose Bowl, it'd be fine with me. Like, it's okay. Just a cool place.
Just like that'd be the war cry, like in softball. Let's get to Oklahoma City in baseball.
Right.
Let's get to Omaha.
Right.
In college
Let's get
football.
To the Rose Bowl.
Let's get to Pasadena.
Right.
Well, why not?
I mean, because you don't want to see it go away.
No.
Do you?
No.
Maybe.
I don't see the Rose Bowl go away.
I mean, the
but
humor.
But they gotta change. Evolve or die. Gotta change.
That's what we're learning.
Yep.
Throughout this entire process is what we're learning. All right, we'll be back. We're going to wrap it up here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday on Skinny on Sports.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Wrapping it up here on the Skinny on Sports on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Paul Jones Drug at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. I told you all about the different aspects with what they've got medically, but you know what else they've got?
What do they got?
Gifts and greeting cards. All kinds of cool gifts, greeting cards. If you're a little bit late on, say, a graduation present, you forgot or you're out of the country or something, go down there, Paul Jones Drug. Pick up all kinds of cool gifts, cool greeting cards, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. On a scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you with, well, first off, this might help me answer this question. Do you know what's happening tonight, Jared?
Tuesday night. No. What's happening tonight?
Tonight is the debut of Chet in Summer League.
Oh, man, that came up quick.
Tonight is the debut of Chet Holmgren in Summer League for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You can hear it right here on these airwaves, 8 o'clock.
Oh, really? Who do they play? Let me look up that schedule.
Utah.
Oh, they play Utah. Okay. In Utah, I assume.
I think that's
where the Summer League is at.
Yeah, it is in Salt Lake City.
Very good. Okay.
Here you go. Speaking of back to what we were talking about with the Big 12, Fox is done with the Pac-12 as an entity, has no plans to even bid on a new TV contract. So that tells you Fox is all in with the Big Ten.
Well, there's another nail in the coffin.
Boise State making a lot of noise, wanting Big 12 to reopen their application.
Ha!
Listen to this. CBS and NBC expected to be huge players for the next Big 12 contract, in addition to ESPN and Fox. NBC is the interesting one there to me. You know why?
Notre Dame.
That's right. Do they know something we don't about Notre Dame?
Well, when's that contract end?
The Big 12?
No. Notre Dame with
That's a great question.
NBC. Maybe NBC's saying, you know what? We're done with one school. We want a lot of schools. Maybe they're not willing to re-up with Notre Dame. I don't know.
I find that one hard to believe.
Kind of hard to believe.
It runs through 2025.
Okay.
So all of this kind of coinciding. They're in kind of the same years. That 24, 25, those seem to be the next target dates for all of this. And the wheels are getting in motion now. Anyway, back to Summer League. I just saw that pop up.
Wow, it is on ESPN2, by the way. Tonight at 9.
Yeah, 8 Central. Okay.
The debut of Chet.
How are you intrigued? Are you interested? Are you just going to end up with kind of the, okay, so what happened? Somebody tell me what happened. I'm looking at a box score.
Maybe. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 our time.
I was looking at Eastern. Yeah, because of kind of what we thought about after the draft, there's that excitement that's back because of the intrigue. It was a good draft, and it's clearly a step in the winning direction for Oklahoma City, or the attempting to. So, yeah, I'm intrigued enough to tune in and watch and see this new guys. I'm assuming the others will be there too. I haven't seen a roster of you.
No, yeah, you'd assume all those guys would be there. I wonder who of the guys that we've seen are going to be there. That's the question I want to know. Like, is Josh Giddey going to play Summer League?
I'm attempting a roster.
I'm looking for it too.
Because that's a great question too. Because you kind of want to see a version of a team that we're going to see when the season starts, right? Which is never the case in Summer League. This is the workout, the new guys. But, yeah, you'd love maybe, you know, obviously SGA isn't going to be there. Giddey's a great question. Looking ahead to Summer League. There we go.
Here we go.
You got it?
I do, right here. Oklahoma City's Summer League roster features 7 returning Thunder players and 4 draft picks, which all four will be playing. If you're wondering what Eric Maynor's been doing, he'll serve as a assistant on the Summer League roster. Josh Giddey is listed on the Summer League roster. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Poku, Trey Mann, Vit Krejci, among the Aaron Wiggins, Lindy Waters, among the guys that have been around. And, of course, those, you know, the draft picks and some other guys will be there. They'll play 3 games this week. And then starting Saturday, they'll be in Vegas for the Vegas Summer League. So it's a total of like 7 or 8 games, depending on how they do in Vegas. Yeah, but
is it like a tournament style, or is
it's not
pool play?
Not here at Salt Lake. In Vegas, it is. In Vegas, it's 4 games, and then the championship game between whoever the top 2 teams. It seems like it goes by the quarter a lot of times. Like you win quarters, so you get like a point for. There's like 5 points total for each game, and so if you win every quarter and the game, obviously you'd win that. You get 5, and that's kind of how the standings work. And I think it's just because of the developmental nature of it. You just, you know, it's not like the kind of rewarding different groups of players by you know, doing it that way, I guess, by the quarter. But anyway, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And maybe not even as much. I mean, obviously, you want to see what Chet looks like. But the real test for him is going to be when he's playing in the NBA, not just summer league. But wouldn't it be nice to see some of these other guys? I mean, like a Josh Giddey, if he plays, if he's on the roster, but if he plays, don't you want to see him dominate?
Yeah.
He needs to dominate. Because one would think that he's a little bit higher class a player than what a lot of these guys are. I mean, it'd be awesome if Chet dominated. If Poku looked like he could actually be an NBA player. You know, that's, I really do think there's, you know, get to look at these other new guys with the two Jaylens and then also Usman Jang. Maybe our first spotting of that guy.
Yeah.
But the one thing you got to make sure you don't do is overreact. Too good or bad.
Right. Right. Got to be even keel on it and just can't go crazy if tonight Holmgren only has like 5 points.
Oh, I'm going to come in here tomorrow and tell you I was completely wrong. It was a horrible draft pick. Trade him now.
That will happen.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
You know what didn't happen over the weekend?
A Kevin Durant trade.
That's right.
I did see that the odds changed on Sunday to Monday from +3,500 to +304. Toronto.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.